kind of continue on a little bit of close to where we were at last week. I'm going to pass out these charts. If you will, take one and pass it on. And then I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. We're all familiar with this scripture here. To study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved. I'll get there myself in just a minute. And that's what we're going to attempt to do over the next few weeks. And a lot of you have this that I've gave you here. And overlook the spelling. It's typographical. It's not ignorance. But Israel is misspelled in the first couple places. Brother Mark Page is taking care of that for me. He's going to recolor this for me. But I want you to take one of those charts. I want you to look at them while we do this lesson. And I don't take credit for all of this, just part of it, okay? Which I don't need no credit anyway, but I read some four books, The Baptisms of Suffering, Christ the First, or Baptisms, Resurrections, Judgments, and Mysteries. I read those books, and I said, you know, this should be in a chart form. And I made a chart. Then later on, I was going through Ruckman's catalog, and there was the chart. So I said, there's nothing new under the sun. He had already made one. But he didn't make it like this. He just made a chart with these laid out without the lines or anything like that. But what this is doing, it's going to be hard to keep this over, but you're going to have one in front of you. What this is going to do is, as we look at some scriptures, we'll refer occasionally to this. And it's going to help you, I honestly believe. You know, the preacher mentioned Wednesday night about the mysteries, and he's over in Revelation in chapter 17 and 18. And in chapter 17 and 18, where he's teaching, you better just keep them back there, Mark, and give them to them as they come in. But in 17 and 18, you know, John stood in 17, holds your place there in 2 Timothy, and I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 17. In 17 verse 6. It says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You know, that's covering a long period of time there of the saints. And you're looking at even, it says, and the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And like people will say, well, that's Rome, looking at Rome as a city. And there's way, folks, you're going to have to read this and study it for yourself. And I challenge you to do that with that chart before you. But it can't totally be Rome because it says, and I saw, because John marveled. That's the only way I'm looking at it. And John would not have marveled at a city that had him in prison, would he? Nor he had taken the heads of other saints right before them, right before their eyes, beheaded them. But when he saw this, it says, look what he says, and I wondered with great admiration. You know what? I honestly believe what he saw was the system right down the street. You know, as the preacher's been preaching on Wednesday night, and I've enjoyed it, when you look at Babylon, the mother of harlots, just think what's come out of this. When that woman in Matthew 13 blended in a little leaven, man, she took care of a lot, didn't she? Now look at some of the problems in churches today, even with great intentions. As I was telling you a few weeks ago, I went to hear Travis teach. I didn't have to teach here that morning. I've been wanting to go hear him teach for a long time. And I went and heard him teach, and he taught a lesson on unintentional mistakes. And boy, that was good. I needed that. And he used Abram and Sarah. Sarah made an unintentional error. We can't see any intent. What, she just looked at her age. She looked at all that was against her. And she made a bad mistake, didn't she? And a lot of people do that. Not believing God, looking at what God said, believe what he said, and not make them unintentional errors. A lot of things that people do in churches, they think they're right in doing them, and it's unintentional bad errors. So what came out of the Catholic Church, when Luther came out, he brought a lot of stuff out with the Catholics that's still in systems today. And you know where that falls under? That falls under the mysteries, and if you've got your chart in front of you, and under the whore, mother of harlots. You know, Satan has a bride as well as Jesus does. He does. He's got his own group, and they're blinded. And you know, in Corinthians chapter 4, it says they're blinded. And that's what you see here. The whore, mother of harlots, a mystery of iniquity. And it's a mystery, but John saw a part of it. And that's why we have to be careful. You know, some of these mysteries, they're already revealed to us. But they wasn't revealed to these people, Israel, in those times. They didn't see a lot of those mysteries. Paul brought those mysteries in, and we'll look at that. And a lot of this, we're not seeing totally yet. That mystery of iniquity, if we could see it totally, you know, we'd know who this Antichrist is going to be and all that. There's a lot, but one of these days, God will reveal that the same way he revealed Christ in us, the hope of glory, and his church. He'll reveal that to us just like he did, but he's going to take us out of here before we get back into this other side. We'll look at that in just a minute. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right there, he's telling us what to do and how to do it and why. And you know that all other Bibles other than the King James don't say to study the Bible? I wonder why. Somebody got something to hide? Now, I'm just letting you do the thinking. But somebody's got something to hide. Because they don't want you to see where they've messed with this thing. That's the truth. So it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's he supposed to do? He's supposed to study. Why is he supposed to do it? So he will not be ashamed. And how is he supposed to do it? By rightly dividing. And dividing is negative. It's a negative thing. You're cutting things loose. When you divide something, you cut it apart. And you separate it. So there's some things in this book that has to be separated. God said about marriage, said what, and I've said this before, and this is my statement, which ain't much to it, but he says, you know, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And I say, what God has put asunder, let no man put back together. Amen? There's some things that's been put away with that people don't want to give up. Works, for their salvation. There's people up and down this road, folks, that fear the tribulation period because they're not rightly dividing the book. If they did, they would see that we're not appointed to wrath. We're going out of here, right? And over the next few weeks, we're going to see some of these things. You keep that stuck down for me, Terry. You might have to sit up there. All right, so we see what and how and why. Now, rightly dividing the Bible is a scriptural method. And we're not to cut it all to pieces because it has spiritual application. All of you can get spiritual application. And you can learn from these things. But a lot of places in that book you don't want for doctrine. As I've said many times in this class, read your own mail. When I go to my neighbor's mailbox and go to messing around in his mailbox and they get worried about my payments, and they're his. Right? We got to rightly divide the word of God. And God says to do it. So it's a scriptural method of dividing, and it's negative. People don't like negative. These people that's held on to things all their life, that they have to work for their salvation. And when somebody plainly puts it before them, they don't want to give it up. And that's sad, but it's true. All right, let me move on. If you're going to rightly divide the Word of God, you're going to have to look at dispensations, okay? If you're going to rightly divide the Word of God, you're going to realize these different time periods in this Bible. And the most amateurish Bible studier can see two, can't he? Without seeing any more, he can see two, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we'll move on from there. But just because it says New Testament doesn't put all of Matthew into the New Testament. Now, I've got several scriptures to read, but I may just point out a bunch of them and not go to them, okay? But everyone can see two periods of time. Everything up to Matthew 27:50 is under the Old Testament. Because Hebrews says, without the death of the tester, there's no testament. But there's one thing we have to look at. And I'll talk, I'm just going to briefly go over a lot of stuff today, and we'll go back and narrow a lot of it down later. But people will say, well, there's an ultra-dispensationalist, okay? And I hope you know what I'm talking about. Ultra, you just cut that Bible to where you take baptism completely out. And why do they, Bullinger, okay, we're going to talk about dispensations here. And Bullinger, he's one that a lot of ultra dispensationalists followed. And he had the seven methods, which were good. But, baptism is an ordinance of the church, right? But when we look at this chart here, under the bride of Christ, baptism is spiritual. Okay? Now, what we do when we go down in the water has already taken place. Serious. Just about every one of these in seven mysteries, seven judgments, seven resurrections, and seven baptisms is spiritual in our life today because God has taken care of it. We were baptized into Christ. That's a spiritual baptism. Now, I lost my place there when I went through that. So everything up to Matthew 27, when Jesus was crucified, will fall under the Old Testament. But if you go to cutting this Bible too thin, too quick, I'll give you some things that will scare you, and me too. Now, I'm not trying to act like I know a bunch, okay? Please don't think that. Please don't. But when I talk with an ultra-dispensationalist, and he tells me he's going to follow Paul all the way, well, my Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Grace and truth came by Jesus. I looked at scriptures with these guys a lot now, and I'm not going to call names because we got some good friends in here, and you know who I'm talking about, who followed this ultra-dispensationalist stuff and just kept dispensating the Bible away till their final stop was either Calvinism or what do you call them? The beards, the
Amish.
You just dispensate everything away. But if we're going to look at periods of time as a dispensation, which is not the right answer to dispensation. A dispensation is the way that a husbandman, a master of a house, runs his household at that time. Now, it is a period of time because God had some periods of time in there. But if you separate it as time, all the time, then you get in trouble. Because there's transitional periods. And the first parts of Matthew is transitional period of time. Now, we're going to look some more at this in a minute, but everything we're starting out simple here. The weakest Christian who's reading his Bible can see two testaments. Okay? He can see the blood of bulls and goats. Than the blood of our Lord. But you know there's a period of time from John the Baptist until Matthew 27, which is a transitional time, right? So there has to be a period of time after Jesus' resurrection to Acts chapter 15. When those men got together, and we're going to look at these scriptures more later. When those men got together in Acts chapter 15, and boy, they had a conference, didn't they? And didn't they have a good one? Huh? They sat down and talked about how do we know we're saved and how did we get saved. And they shook hands and left. So we can't cut this book to pieces. Just to keep that in mind. We can't cut it to pieces. Because grace and truth came by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at this chart, there is Jews in this side right here, ain't they? In the bride of Christ. Right? Then wasn't there some Gentiles over in here? Didn't you find some of them? Like that woman that come to the Lord, and he said, and she got down in front of him. And he told her, said, you know it's my time's not yet, or whatever, to that effect. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She, and an ultra-dispensationalist will say, well, Jesus was in a different time, but what did he give that Gentile? Grace. I hope that's not confusion yet. All I'm saying these things for is don't cut it so thin that you're high and dry, dry cleaners. All right, just don't cut it so high and dry. But you have to look at time periods or be confused in your Bible. All right, now, everything up to Matthew 27:50, Matthew 1:27, Mark 1:15, Luke 1:23, and John 1:19. So when you read John chapter 15 and you're looking at Jesus talking about the vineyard, man, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is mixed in that. The kingdom of God is there. And John 3:16, the kingdom of God is there. But Jesus was offering the kingdom of heaven. It's a transitional time. And as John Knox says in that book that he's got that's available to us here, and Law and Grace, Don't build your foundation on a swinging bridge. I mean, you know what a swinging bridge is, don't you? Have you ever been on one? I have a lot when I was a kid, and my brothers would get me right in the middle of that thing and go to bouncing. And I think I was going plumb out into the river when they got that thing bouncing. It's not stable because it's a transitional period. And I hope this is not confusing. We're going to spend a lot of time here, but we're going to come back better, okay? In Luke 16:16, it says, "The law and the prophets were until John." Do you see that definite time period? We have to look at the Bible in time periods. Jesus said in Luke 16:16, I hope you're taking notes on these and write them on the thing, that the law and the prophets were until John. So, if the law and the prophets were until John, and the New Testament had to have the death of a tester, what does that say? Now, I'm getting simple as I can get there. Does that make sense to you? That if the law and the prophets were until John, and they had to be the death of a tester, then there's a time from John to the death of the tester. What was that time, buddy, when they put him on that donkey and rode him down through there? Huh? And boy, they thought, there's the king. Yes, sir. And they crucified their Savior. Amen. They crucified their Lord. I'm telling you, this book is nothing like this book. The study of this thing, oh my goodness. So, we're just looking. I'm not going to identify times. I'm not going to get in all these different charts. I'm just going to show you that there's times. And that you better be looking at them like they're in there. So if the law and the prophets were until John, and the testament started with the death of a tester, that's a time period, isn't it? Some people were grandfathered in, wasn't they? The old saying you have on the job, they're going to grandfather us in. Well, when you get into Hebrews, which is written to a Hebrew, and you get into chapters 5 and 6, I think old Oliver B. Green is not a, he was a tremendous preacher, but not a real, what we would call, teacher of the book. He's just a preacher of the book, and a beautiful one. My wife accepted the Lord on the radio under his ministry. And he give one of the but him not being that teacher of the book, he give one of the best illustrations in Hebrews that I believe I've read out of all your scholars. When he was talking about, therefore, after being enlightened, now remember this scripture, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but the fearful waiting of the judgment. What's that? Jim, if you're going to do something, you got to, now to make a law, you got to have a little time, don't you? You got to have a little time before that law takes effect. And people who's not heard, right? They hadn't. But, buddy, after being enlightened and have tasted, that's when you hear the word of God, you're going to taste it. Because it's like apples. It's like honey. Think of all the things he compared it to. It's like water, cool water. That God himself compared it to. And after you've tasted it, hey, ain't no good to bring that lamb anymore. Now, that time changed, that period of time changed, because if the law was until John, law and the prophets were to John, what happened at the crucifixion? The veil was rent, wasn't it? So that tells me, it was still in place until then. But Paul didn't bring grace, brother. Our Lord and Savior brought grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus. So when I cut this Bible so thin, that it come by him, by Paul? And him? No, sir. It's like I've said before, just because something's not revealed don't mean it's not there. You don't know what's in my left pocket, but it's there. You can do some guessing, but it's there. Grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm saying this, I'll go back to some of Paul's teachings where he said, though he mentioned people two times that I know of, and we'll look at that more as we get into the chart, where he said they were in Christ before him. Was that not right? How'd they get in there if he started it? You know what they had to do after that? Make two bodies in Christ, one a Jew and one Gentile. No. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one Lord over all, who is rich into all. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything on that chart you've got in your hand, he started it all. Everything. Mysteries. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was God. You know that no Bible other than the King James Bible will support this chart? None. Only the King James Bible will. All right? Judgments. Seven of them. He's the first one there. The judgment of sin at Calvary. He was judged for every man's sin. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The next one, the resurrections. He's the first fruit. We got a misspelled word there. Typographical error. You can change it. Frist. All right. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the only man, the first man to ever come up from the grave to never die again. Do you realize that we got ours spiritually? Look here. This is the bride. We have a spiritual resurrection. Is that not something? I'm already in him. I've already raised from the dead. Because I was dead in trespasses and sins, and he quickened me and made me alive spiritually and separated me, according to Colossians 2, from this old body. You see that? He's the first fruits of the resurrections, the baptisms. The disciple, Salome came to him, and I love this woman. I've heard one message in my life and that I added and some notes that I got. And one of these days, God willing, I'm going to write it in a book form, what God didn't say. And I've heard preachers just give her a fit because she came to Jesus and said, could one of my sons sit on your right and one on your left? She didn't go to Pilate. Did she? Or she didn't go to the tax collector and say, would you hire my sons? Boy, she went to the Lord. So that's a proactive mother wanting the best for her children and wanting the best in Christ for her children. That's what a lot of parents need today, wanting the best in Christ for their children, not the best education, not the best car, but the best in Christ. A proactive mother who Salome was. But she came to Jesus and she said, could her, James and John, could they one sit on the left and one on the right? But the Bible says he turned to James and John, didn't it? And he told her, he said, you don't know what you ask. He said, that's for the Father to give. He never rebuked that woman. You can't make a selfish woman out of her. Because you'll find her at the crucifixion. Read your Bible. You'll find her at the crucifixion. You'll find her at the resurrection. And you'll find her studying at the feet of Jesus. That's a proactive mother. Nothing wrong with that woman. All right? Now, Jesus told James and John, he said, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, yea, Lord. He said, well, you indeed will be. The baptism of suffering. Buddy, when he went into that garden and prayed, not my will, but thine. Take this, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Don't tell me he was afraid of dying. Buddy, he had to be baptized in right into hell. God made him, and I don't know how many times I've told this class, but we better not forget it. God has made him to be sin. He made him to be sin. What suffering that was. Death, he said, no man takes this from me. I can lay it down and I can take it up. But you know what happened? Deity, he had never been separated from the Father. But if he's going to become sin, he's going to be separated from the Father. And it throwed the whole universe out of kilter, didn't it? Earthquakes, darkening of the sun. Why? Because of Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1. He's the one that formed them and made them and commanded them to be. This book has to be rightly divided. Okay? The law and the prophets were until John. Okay. I'm going to jump some notes. We'll hit some more later next week. But if the law and the prophets were until John, then what's that do? That puts a time period in there, don't it? That's got to be seen. Because we know that the New Testament started with the death of the tester. Okay, moving on from there. All right, we also know that no one in the Old Testament had his sins paid for permanently or was redeemed, Romans 3:24, Hebrews 9:12, until after Matthew 27. Right? Look at the two. Look at what he says about in Revelation you got two songs. The song of Moses. And every time you see the song of Moses, the commandments are involved in it. And obeying them. But when you see the song of the Lamb, it's blood. So there's another time period we're going to go into again. Israel in the tribulation right here, and it'll be judgments of Israel, Revelation chapter 5 through chapter 19. God is, boy, he's judging Israel, isn't he, before he brings them back, so, like's never been seen. We could run down all them scriptures, we'll hit some of them later, but man, it's unbelievable. So, if we're going to call dispensations time, and like I said, Clarence Larkin, those who have a Scofield Bible, and Scofield, Clarence Larkin, Scofield, Bullinger had seven periods of time. And that's what I lean with more than any of them. But I'm not going to choose sides and go to looking at that, but I'm just going to say we better look at it as there is times, because we're seeing some of them today. Whether we like it or not, we will have to deal with a minimum of four dispensations, whether we like it or not. If we like most of them, most Baptist, got to be careful here, most Baptist preachers, I'm not picking on nobody but Baptist, make a casserole out of the Bible. You don't know whether you're eating chicken or corn or bread or whatever, or gravy that's all mixed together. Then make a casserole out of that Bible. And they say everybody in the Old Testament was looking forward to Calvary, and everybody in the New Testament is looking back. That won't hold water. That won't hold water, folks. Let me tell you why. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus spoke to the disciples, and he gave them parables of the sowers. And he said, "Do you understand these things?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we understand them." But in Matthew chapter 15, it says he began to speak to them that he must needs go to what, Jerusalem? And there he'd be crucified. Peter said, "Be it far from you." Well, he just told him over in Matthew 13 he understood all these things. When they went to the tomb, and they said, they looked in there, they said, "What? Who hath taken our Lord? For these things were hid from them, neither knew they what he said. But the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, the mystery of the kingdom which he was offering them during that one time we looked at today, was not hid from them." They said, "Lord, why do you speak to us in parables in Matthew 13? He said, "Because it is given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not. But the mystery of God, the kingdom of God, is the death and burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And they knew nothing about it, and it was hid from them. So we have to look at time periods, okay? And the basics, if we have four basic, and one of them, the first will be Adam to Moses. Moses to John the Baptist. You could put more in there. Some people prefer looking at the covenants that God made with man. But I like the time periods. So Adam to Moses, Moses to John the Baptist, an intermediate time from John the Baptist to the completed blood atonement. Hebrews 9:16. A New Testament running from Matthew 27 to an indefinite time in the end somewhere ahead of us. Okay, that's four. But if you study your Bible deeper, you're going to have to see another period of time in the beginning of Acts. All right, folks, where does that come in? Do you remember the lesson on the sowings? Now, you can spiritualize the four sowings and make them the kingdom of God and the church. You can do that. But doctrinally, you cannot. Because they appear, now listen to me, because they appear in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus said, "Do you understand these things? It's given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not." The disciples understood the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not the mystery of the church. The church is in Christ. Those sowings were this. The first sowing by the wayside. Right? And what's that mean? Paths. John the Baptist came. And he offered the kingdom of heaven. He said, "Make these paths straight." See, I don't have time to get into that, but the wording's even right. We've read it in this class. The wording's even right. Jesus waited. And when they told him that John the Baptist was dead or was in prison and going to die, Jesus knew it anyway. But you know what he started then? Jesus sowed. And the definition of the first sowing was by the wayside. That's where the seed fell. All right? The second one, the definition of that and the wording is they were offended. So Jesus started sowing the kingdom of heaven himself after John. And he said in John 6, he said, "Does this offend you?" You see the wording? The wording's even the same. They were offended. And they went away. Because he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me." All right, the next sowing was the disciples. In that period of time, in the beginning of Acts, And what did, oh Lord, this is just beautiful, folks. You got to read it and believe it and study it. And Jesus gave the definitions. And he said, the cares of this life snuff the seed out. Did he not? So when them disciples sowed the kingdom of heaven in the early Acts age, what did they do? They brought all that stuff in. And they gave it to the church. Second thing, all right, I got you. And they gave it to the church. And the cares of this life snuffed it out. But many went away because they were not willing to sacrifice. The fourth sowing will go back to our Lord again. And that'll be that 144,000 in the tribulation. And the wording's the same there because he said in Revelation right before they start and right before that seal's broken, he said, and touch not the earth until a good ground, until he's put in their forehead, and they'll sow the kingdom of heaven after the church is gone. What a book. I know we hear it a lot of different ways, and that's okay. You can preach it spiritually, but you can't pump it in there doctrinally. We'll look at next week. We'll look at something that's amazing. And these covenants, the Edenic state, innocence, I want you to watch something. We're in parentheses, okay? The first one, the Edenic state, is innocence. And then you got the patriarchs. Israel, third, under the law. Fourth is the church, and it matches none of the others. The church matches none of the others. And then the fifth one is Israel judicial, when God is judging Israel in a tribulation period. And then the sixth one is the millennium and eternal state. So if you take the church out of it, then the first one, the Edenic state, innocence, matches seventh, the eternal state, glory. It matches it. The second one, the patriarchs, matches sixth, the millennial, when they rule. The third, Israel under the law, matches the fifth, Israel in judgment. But the church is in parentheses because we're grafted in. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God.